From Chinese prisoners to peasants in Bangladesh to POWs in the Balkans, victims of organ trafficking span the globe. Some are enticed by promises of cash payments for their kidneys and other organs. Others are forced against their will. Few of them, however, ever receive proper medical care or the money they were promised. One MSU researcher has managed to penetrate this dark underground world. Munir Munirusamin is an assistant professor of anthropology at MSU and is part of the Center for Ethics and Humanities in the Life Sciences here on campus. His is one of the first in-depth studies of people who sell their organs. His conversation with WKAR's Melissa Benmark began with how he first started researching this macabre trade in human organs.
I was a master's student in a Canadian university, so I came across to an article and it described that what is happening in India in relation to organ trafficking. So I did not believe it that these things is happening because it's a different form of bodily exploitation, unlike slavery and prostitution. So after reading that article, I decided to look into that and started doing my work. And last 15 years or so, I've been working on this issue and trying to, you know, understand how things are unfolding and changing and different directions it's taking. So that's basically triggered me to know about this underworld.
I was just reading an article from 2009, I think in Time magazine or some popular magazine, where the author was saying, oh, I just thought this was an urban legend.
And people talked it differently because there are so many movie came out and there is misconceptions about it, and it's happening not in, you know, real life. It's happening underground. So people are confused about that. And that's why there are some misconceptions came out. And that's basically, you know, they call this urban legend. But it's, you know, in my research, I interview 45 kidney sellers who already sold their bodily organs, including kidneys and livers. So, and I have all of their scars. So it's proven that, you know, you can see that this is happening in ground. It's not a legend anymore, you know.
I saw your video segment in the MSU 360, and it was excruciating because it just seemed like not only, you know, the horror of the trafficking, but the impact on entire families of what was going on.
Yeah, and that's what I found in my research, that majority of them, you know, I believe it's 81% sellers did not receive the money what they are being promised to. So for an example, one seller, he received only $600, although he was being promised that he's going to get $1,500 after giving the kidney. So none of the sellers did not receive the money beforehand, because the buyer thought that, you know, they're going to run away with that money. They live in the slums or you know, village. So they move from one area to other area. So none of them, they received the money beforehand. But after giving the kidney, the situation changed, and 80% seller did not receive the money what they are being promised. So their economic condition deteriorated. People might think that, you know, their economic condition is better off because they received the money. But what I found, their economic condition deteriorated because the money they basically pay off their loan, and they spend on material things like buying cell phone or buying a television. And so those money are gone, and now they cannot go back to their old job, like physical demanding job like rickshaw pulling or heavy industrial lifting. So their economic condition deteriorated after selling their organs. So their health condition deteriorated and their social condition declined. So all of those things happen after selling the kidneys. So that didn't change their situation at all. They are living in the same condition as they were before, or they are living worse condition than they were before. So that's my finding. So selling and buying cannot change their social condition and their economic situation. So that's why this trade is an unethical trade, that it doesn't, you know, change the people's social and economic or health condition at all. So that's what one of my arguments is coming it forward, that this market is like exploitative because these people's situation didn't change at all.
Who receives the transplants?
This is mostly Bangladeshi wealthy recipients. There are cases where people living abroad, they are recipients too. And in that situation, mostly it is the Bangladeshi-born foreign nationals. Like in one case, there was a person came out from New York City, and he came to Bangladesh, and he found a seller poor villagers, and the operation was performed in Singapore. So in those kind of situation, it's mostly Bangladeshi-born foreign national who was living in, you know, United States or Europe. So they are coming to Bangladesh too, because there's a big waiting list in those countries. And to bypass that waiting list, so these patients, they are coming to Bangladesh, and Bangladesh will be recipients too. So they are basically finding these sellers from poor villages and then basically bringing them, either the operation is performed in Bangladesh or in India or Singapore or Thailand. So those are the countries where the operations are being performed.
I understand that, you're originally from Bangladesh?
That's right. Yeah, I was born in Bangladesh, and I came to Canada for 10 years ago, did my PhD, and then came to MSU 3 years ago.
So that must be hard to see that happening, you know, in your country of origin.
Of course. And that's, you know, it's very frustrating to me that this is a situation is going on. Last 10 years, the situation didn't change at all. It's deteriorating. We are trying to work with the Ministry of Health in Bangladesh, and we are trying to work with doctors in Bangladesh to try to make some changes. And recently I became a member of the Istanbul Declaration of Organ Trafficking, which is the World Transplantation Society. They adopted that organization. So we are working together to try to make some changes there. But it's very complicated. Things are, you know, the system is very, you know, corrupt, and situation is very out of, you know, our hand. And so it's really, really complicated situation.
I didn't see, and that may just because I don't know where to look, but I didn't see a lot of actual hard research like yours. Are you finding now that you're kind of one of the first and that people are kind of springing off of what you've done to do some more?
You know, my work, there are work came out, and where Nancy Schaeffer Hughes, you know, from University of California, Berkeley, you know, she did a long-standing work. But her work is mostly global and, you know, getting different area and looking at. But my work, I really wanted to do in one, you know, place, like one country, and going deeper as far as I can go. And so that's what my strength of the work is like, rather than having a, you know, snapshots or glimpse of, like, you know, how organ trafficking is happening in all over the world. I am focusing in one places and going deeper, how those phenomena are, like, you know, is all connected, and how they, you know, created a system like underworld, and then how that underworld is, like, it's so deep and so strong, and so how that exploitation is happening, how trafficking is happening. So my work is bottom up in that way, that looking at from one place and then how it become a global phenomenon.
So having exposed something like that, now do you feel like your next project is something to follow up on that, or are you going to be doing something completely different?
No, I am doing on this project, you know, for the last 13 or 14 years or so, and I'm going to keep continuing doing that. And my recent work, you know, what I'm looking at is the liver trafficking, which is another new phenomena is emerging. And I already interviewed a liver seller who already sold part of his liver lobe. So liver is now become a new commodity, and part of the liver can be, you know, buy and sold on the market, illegal market. And these poor people, you know, the broker, they convince them that, you know, liver grows faster, so you can, you know, sell part of your liver. And these poor people doesn't know what liver means and its function in the body, so these organ brokers, they convince them. And now there is a new kind of market is emerging. So I'm looking at the, you know, emerging market of liver trafficking, which is like a very, very new phenomena. There are only very few cases are, you know, documented today, mostly from the, you know, popular media. But this is my work. I'm looking at in scholarly articles that, you know, how that liver market is emerging. And I'm already interviewing. I already interviewed a liver seller, recipient, doctor. So I'm trying to understand that how that market is emerging right now. So that's my recent project.
So this really is a continuing story.
Of course, yeah. It's and how it's not only kidney, now the new medical technology and advancements of new medical technology and other body parts become a commodity. So, you know, liver is in the market right now. And my future plan is to look at, like, how surrogate tourism, where people don't have babies in the West, so they go to India and other countries, and how that exploitation is happening, where the body is intact, you know, unlike in organ trafficking. But the body is intact, but how that body become a different form of commodification is happening in relation to that body. So that is, I'm looking mostly, you know, my broader frame is like how new technology has a huge impact on the poor population. So the advancements of technology, who benefits by that and who are exploited by that.
How do you, in researching something that is so awful, how do you keep from just becoming depressed by the awfulness of it?
You know, when I looked at and I saw those stories need to be told, and these people, you know, it's kind of my obligation, in social obligation and responsibility towards those people. You know, they open up their underworld, and it's illegal. You know, some of the cases I found out, they didn't even tell to their spouses that they sold their kidneys. There is a big scar, and they came up with this story that they were working in a distant village or a city, and there was an accident happened. They had to go to the hospital. So it's shameful, humiliating, and it's illegal. So none of them, they open up their underworld, you know, like even to their spouses. So as a researcher, I try to convince them and I listen to their story. And when I heard about that, you know, I thought, you know, I need to tell that story. This is a severe form of exploitation. It's unseen in human history. And that's the motivation I have, and I'm working on it.
That was WKAR's Melissa Benmark with Munir Munirizameen, an assistant professor of anthropology at MSU. Professor Munirizameen's work was presented in a video segment as part of the Spartans Will 360 report. You can find a link to it on our website at wkar.org.